Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of my podcast, Putting and the Gutter. My name is Joe Ambrose, your host, PGA and PBA professional, and I come to you this week to talk about the Masters and give a little bit of a recap as to what happened. Everybody that plays golf or is interested in golf loves the Masters. It's like a rite of spring, as I mentioned on the last episode I did, and it was, of course, great to watch as always. The weather was really difficult the first couple of days, Thursday and Friday. The scores were a lot higher than we normally would see at Augusta. That's the one thing that can really play havoc with anybody or any golfer is wind. Technology doesn't help you a ton there, but especially the way Augusta is always set up, firm, fast, and some of the pin positions, they're just, you know, you have to be so precise with everything, and the wind just plays havoc. So it was a great event. It was really good. It was really close right up until maybe around the eighth hole on Sunday when champion Scottie Scheffler pulled away. And, of course, like everybody else, I watched most of the whole thing. I was a little sad that a few people didn't make the cut. The big three that we probably wanted to see on Sunday would be Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson. They all missed the cut, along with Sergio Garcia and Fred Couples, fan favorite. You know he's not going to be playing too many more Masters. And it was hard to see those guys. But I got to give Tiger Woods a lot of credit. His body is just so beat up right now. And for him to walk that golf course and make the cut in those weather conditions at one over after two rounds, that was really amazing. I felt bad for him in the weekend. You could see that walking there for four straight days was just a little bit too much for him. And he got off to a rough start on Saturday and never really recovered. But just like Jack Nicklaus later in his career and Arnold Palmer later in his career, we wanted to still see him. You know, golf is one of those sports that you can still see your favorite people and legends play into their 50s and 60s and maybe later, you know, for some guys. So it was really nice to see Tiger make the cut and show that he still has the passion for the game and is willing to do all the things he has to do to get ready for a round of golf and to make the cut. So congrats to him. Just a correction on the cut streak. You know, he does have the so-called record, 24 straight, you know, cuts made. But the consecutive year record, actually, without missing a year, is 21, and that's Tom Watson. I don't think anybody will ever beat that because you would have to start making cuts there when you're 19, and then you got to make every cut until you're like 40 or 41 or something like that. So we'll see in the future if anybody can equal that. But just to recap, Scheffler played amazing all week long. He was very solid. You know, you're going to make bogeys there, but he, every time he had a bad hole, he would come back with a birdie or an eagle. And I really felt that his play on 8, 9, and 10, you know, you birdie all three of those holes on Sunday, and you're going to put some distance between yourself and your competitors, and that's exactly what happened. Ludvig Åberg from Sweden played magnificent in his first Masters, and he certainly has nothing to be ashamed about. And there's a guy at 24 years old that's going to be around for a while if he decides, you know, to play over here in America. Tommy Fleetwood, again, played great. Played really solid, tied for third. Max Homa was right there until the end, and so was Colin Morikawa. So it was really Scotty that pulled away with the birdies at 8, 9, 10, and then the extra birdie on 13 after a bogey on 12 to seal it. And that's, you know, he's in rare company now with winning two Masters in 3 years. Not many guys have done that. So congratulations to him, and of course we look forward to 2025. my just some notes for myself. I'm a huge Jim Nantz fan. I think he's great. I love the Masters with him, and I can't imagine him without doing it. But he said something on Sunday that just bugged me. I'm still torn about this whole tour and live tour thing. We all know it's wrong. I get why it happened, and I get that the guys took the money. But I'm sure when you see the numbers come out for the Masters as opposed to regular tour events, you'll see how many people actually watched. And the reason we watched is because of where it is and because all these guys are back together again, which is what we want to see. We want to see all the best players in one spot. We don't want to see five or six tours with everybody split all over the place and never having everybody together. It was great to see everybody together. But Nantz mentioned on Sunday while they were talking on this, I think it was on the 16th hole that I heard him say it, that at one point the top five, and I think the top five guys finished that way, were all PGA Tour players. And he made a point to say that. So that's like a direct shot at LIV, which I don't have anything against guys that went to LIV. Some Americans went, some foreign players went. They got offered a lot of money to go there. But it's really up to those that run the LIV Tour and those that run the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour to sit down and figure this out and get people back together so we can watch golf the way we want to and we can see all these great players on one stage. I really don't like this fragmented stuff, and I think a lot of you would agree with me. You can email me your comments, of course, at any time at joeambrose@pga.com. I'd like to know what you all think about it. But I didn't think Jim Nantz had to say that. I mean, we all knew it was PGA Tour players, but I don't think he needed to make a point of it. This week on the announcing end, we lost two really great voices, one in this sport and one in another one this week. Vern Lundquist is retiring from the Masters, and he had some great calls over the last 40-odd years, and we'll definitely miss him, especially now that he's been a fixture on 16 for so long, and wish him the best in his retirement. And being a Yankee fan, like I am, we lost John Sterling this week, who decided to call it a day as the voice of the Yankees after 30-some years on the radio. And I'll definitely miss him, too. You know, both of those guys are in their 80s. Hey, God bless them. I always said that at over 80, you can do whatever you want. You don't have to explain anything to anybody. So we'll wish them both into the sunset and hope that whoever takes over does as great a job as they did, because they definitely had an impact on what we watched and what we listened to. Some of the other things happening in sports, there's a lot of things going on, obviously. NCAA bowling, I know a lot of you don't watch that, but I coached it for a long time, so of course I have a vested interest. The national championship on the NCAA side was this past weekend, and it was on ESPN on Saturday night. Jacksonville State won the national championship in its first year of existence, beating Arkansas State in the best-of-seven Baker match in Game 7. My heart goes out to Ark State because I know the coach, Justin Kostic, really well. This is the fourth time they've been second without winning a championship, and the second straight year they lost in Game 7. And they didn't do anything wrong. Both times they just got beat by teams that performed just a little bit better than they did. So watching bowlers at that level in college is just so cool. And if you look at the list of players on the Professional Women's Bowlers Tour, I believe I crunched the numbers a few weeks ago, and I think 65% or more have gone to either an NCAA or USBC school in Bowdoin College. So bowling on the professional level, especially on the women's side, is really, really in good shape. And those tournaments are worth watching on Bolt TV if you happen to get that. I would definitely say it's worth your time to subscribe to that and go to pwba.com to get their schedule. Bowling and golf are two sports that gender doesn't matter. Age doesn't really matter. If you can still perform and you can still either get the club on the ball or get the ball to your target and knock pins down, it really doesn't matter how old you are. So that'll be great to watch as some of these ladies graduated from the schools that made it into NCAA Nationals, and then USBC Nationals is this week. There's another 16 teams vying for a national championship on that side, so I'll give you updates on that as that happens this coming week as well. Major League Baseball is underway. It's such a long season, 162 games. It seems like forever. But after 20 games, now that I think that's about where we're at, you get an idea who the really good teams are. And it's going to really be about injuries and moves during the season that's going to determine how things go. Yankees are, you know, off to a 13-6 start, which, of course, personally I'm thrilled about. But it's also good for baseball, too, because a lot of people hate the Yankees, so it's a cool thing. The Phillies are playing well. The Mets are starting to play better. So on the local side, on the East, it's good. The Dodgers, we know, outspent everybody this past winter, but they're off to a good start and in first place in their division. So we'll give some updates going forward on that and see how the divisional races and how the baseball season shakes out. The NBA playoffs have already started. Golden State got eliminated the other night, and I believe the 76ers eliminated Atlanta last night, so they move on to the playoffs, and then there's one more play-in game on both sides to determine the final eight, and then we get into the long NBA playoffs, which I still like the NBA, but it's not like it used to be. It's not as much team-oriented as it was back in my days and a lot of people that are friends with me days. The Boston Celtics, I still think, are the best team in the league, and I'm really rooting for them to win a championship, although I think Denver and Minnesota are going to, in the West, are going to have something to say about that. So we'll see how all those games shake out as well. The LPGA Tour is back this week, and Nelly Korda is going to go for a fifth straight win, which would be unbelievable if she could pull that off. So we'll be watching that as well. And that's really about it. There's so many things. My last thing, the WNBA draft. I know, you know, women's college basketball enjoyed their most watched season ever because of the teams that were good and that were in, and, you know, the eyes that Caitlin Clark brought to the sport. I know I certainly enjoyed watching it, and I definitely enjoy or will enjoy what she's going to be able to do as the number one pick on the Indiana Fever to see if she can raise that franchise. You know, hasn't made the playoffs in, I think, 6 or 7 years, to see if, you know, they can turn things around there. They have a lot of young players. They drafted 3 guards, and their season's going to start pretty quick, I believe, in about 3 weeks. So they're not going to have a lot of turnaround time from draft day to teams. Some really good players went in the draft. I know it was the most watched WNBA draft in history. So finally, women's basketball is getting their due, and I'll be watching. I'm definitely a fan, so we'll give you some updates on that as well. Well, like I do every week, I'll keep it short. Let's hope for some good weather this week now that everybody's got the Masters under their belt and we get some good weather so we can all get back out on the golf course on a steady basis and enjoy the game that we love and go from there. So until next time, thank you very much for listening. Again, emails, comments, joeambrose@pga.com. And I'll be back as soon as possible with another episode of putting and the gutter. Thank you for listening. Bye.